Welcome to another exciting edition of Blue Republican Radio for the Liberty Curious. Here's a little bit of history for you. In 1904, the British and the French signed the Entente Cordiale, and Brits and Frenchmen, well, certainly Brits, I guess I can't speak to Frenchmen, we still talk about the Entente Cordiale. Historically, the English and the French, of course, haven't got on very well, but things have kind of changed as of the last century. And this phrase, Entente Cordiale, is a phrase that we now use to discuss the positive feeling that exists between the French and the English, or at least that's what we tell ourselves. And it turns out that Blue Republican has its own kind of Entente Cordiale. As all of you know, I, with my strange accent and speech impediment, am English, but the head of Blue Republican Missouri, one of our state chapters, is a Frenchman. And this is a Frenchman with whom I have had many enjoyable conversations, and I am very excited that he is actually chair of a Blue Republican state chapter up there in Missouri. And one thing I have noticed is that in the Liberty Movement, some of the most fervent and exciting work is done by immigrants, those who come from outside the United States, who come to the U.S. and look at the wonderful legacy, this wonderful crystallization of the Anglo tradition of liberty that is the United States, that is the U.S. Constitution. And some people outside, you know, they say that converts to a cause are more fervent than those born to the cause. Well, some of us who have worked very hard to become Americans from the outside, we are converts, if you like, to the best of the American cause. And we are fighting to make sure America remains or returns to what it was always supposed to be. And in that spirit, Ismaine joined Blue Republican as the chapter chairman in Missouri. And I guess in that spirit, you know, I kind of started this whole Blue Republican thing with that original article 3 years ago. So I would like to speak with Ismaine today about something that I always enjoy talking about here in the U.S. when I go and give speeches and conferences and so on, which is what's going on in Europe, what is the European conception of liberty, how does the U.S. conception of liberty seem and sound to those outside the U.S., and to do a kind of a compare and contrast of the ideas of liberty on our side of the pond here in the U.S., and the other side of the pond where my home country of England and Ismaine's home country of France can be found. So with that introduction and no further ado, Ismaine, let me welcome you to Blue Republican Radio.
Thank you, Robin, for having me today. I'm very excited to be able to have this discussion with you. And I hope that the people who are listening to the radio show today will enjoy that.
And I know you're very you're a very humble gentleman, Ismaine, and I know you're concerned about Americans and how the American ear picks up or doesn't pick up your accent, but I think it is beautiful, and I think it's going to make a lovely change for our audience. So please bring out your best French sound, and I think we will all be delighted.
That's fine. I'll do my best to speak slowly and with a lesser accent.
I like the accent. It's all good. So, Ismaine, just give us a little introduction. What brought you to the United States? And what, let's just get straight into the whole liberty thing. What for you as a Frenchman strikes most about the tradition of liberty that so many of us are trying to fight for here in the U.S.?
Well, I came to the U.S. 5 years ago because I had the opportunity. My wife, is a researcher in biology. She came in 2007, and I had the opportunity to realize a dream that I had for a long time. I think all started when I was around 8. In France, the American culture is very important, you know, through TV shows, music, and readings, everything that kids can have access to. Mm. And at that time, what was very important to me is that thing that, America, it's another way of life where, you know, if you work hard, if you are very intelligent, smart, and you want to do something with your life, you can succeed. You know, the America, I see America as the land of opportunities, and that's what motivated me to come and try that experience.
Now, if you saw that as a Frenchman, But give us some context. How do French people see France then in relation to those ideas? Do French people feel or know that France is not a land of opportunity?
Well, to me, how can I say that? I think it's, I don't see it the same way. I see that, you know, that if you, in France, you can, you can try, but it's always the meritocracy, if I can say it like this, is not really working well. I've been, before coming to France, I was in France for 32 years of my life. And, you know, I was working hard and trying to be, you know, a good citizen, and I've been involved in politics. And I thought that was very, very difficult to go up the ladder. Now, 5 years after coming to the U.S., now I'm the chair of the Republican Missouri. I've just been nominated by the mayor of my city to be, member of the park board. Even though I ran 3 times for office when I was in France, I felt that it was a lot of struggle, and I have to justify all the time why I was there. And here in America, things look much more easier if you just a hard worker, and if you are motivated, disciplined, it's possible to succeed.
And you're saying that that's how it is in life generally, but also specifically in politics.
Yes. Again, in politics, you know, when I was in France, people, I had the chance, if I can say that, to run for office because, I've been kind of chosen because of my origins. You know, in France, we have a lot of immigration, and, I was born from not a French dad, and people kind of pushed me to run for office for some reason, because I think I offered very good ideas, but also because of my origins. When you offered me to become the chair of Bloomberg and Misery, it was not about my origins, because I understood the principle of the Blue Republican movement, and I'm very motivated and excited to fight for liberties and freedom in these countries. And that says everything to me. There's a big difference between those two countries. Working hard in one country doesn't matter much as your origins. In the U.S., to me, it's not the case.
So, you see, because a lot of Americans think that that's true of the United Kingdom, too, where, that you know, historically we have a class system. I don't really think there really is a lot of people will disagree with me on this, but having gone around the world, I think you can make a case for a class system in many countries other than England, a class system that's much stronger than any class system that exists in England. But this emphasis on origins in France, is this... I mean, this sounds like a real problem for the country. Is it related? We have this stereotype of French as this, as France as this historically centralized state, and as quite a socialist state now, well, and that people are comfortable with that. Is that partly because there is this emphasis on origins rather than, you use the word, meritocracy?
Yes, and people are not wrong in a sense. France is a socialist country, and the root of France, are socialist. At one time of the French history, maybe it was not bad, but today, in the 21st century, in 2014, we have a French president who is a socialist, and it's not, to me, it's not right on many aspects. The meritocracy in France has always been something for the right-wing party, the Union for Popular Movement, which I belonged when I ran for office. As the opposite with the socialist party, it's much more on the color of your skin, and where you come from, that. I don't know how you call that in English, but
a very kind of, you might say, an ethnocentric politics.
To me, it was like, it's like this, yes. It's not, you are not going to be rewarded with your hard work and stuff like this, but you have, I mean, if you come from, you know, a poor family, or someone from an immigrant family, you might have more chances to maybe not to succeed, but being noticed.
I get it. We're going into the first break here, so we'll come back soon. Thank you, Isling. Republican Radio with me, Robin Kerner, the original Blue Republican, speaking to the chairman of Blue Republican Missouri, Ismaane Ayuaz. Did I pronounce that right, Ismaane?
The first name is very good, but last name is, should be like in English, Ayuaz.
Okay, thank you for the correction. Okay, so now that was an interesting introduction in the first segment, Ismaane. But I guess the question I really want to get to in this interview is, what does a Frenchman mean when he says the word liberty, or rather liberté, which I guess is the French equivalent, bearing in mind, of course, that usually that word liberté goes along with égalité and fraternité, which came out of the French Revolution, and of course, which means liberty, maybe brotherhood or something like that, and
equality.
Equality. Now, obviously, the first interesting question to an American audience is, how can you have liberty and equality? What is the nature of equality that is meant in that motto that is consistent with liberty? And indeed, what is the French conception of liberty?
Well, that's a good question and a tough one, I should say, because, you know, to me, the meaning of liberty is this. And I'm talking on my behalf, if I can say it like this. And liberty for me, it's being able to, you know, to do whatever you want as long as you do not encroach the liberty of someone else. The liberty of someone stops when my mind stops. And what is very interesting is that the whole concept of liberties and freedoms came to me when I was in the U.S. This is not a question that most of French people address. When I ran for office, when I was very involved in politics in France, those two words barely came up, in political speeches. Because it's the same thing for the Constitution here in the U.S. The U.S. Constitution is a very important document. It's the foundation of the country. As in France, we have also a constitution. Actually, we had five constitutions, because currently the French Republic is in its fifth republic, and thus we don't talk much about the constitution and the principle of liberties and freedoms. So to me, freedom and liberties is really being able to live a life where you're able to do whatever you want as long as you're not going to harm someone and encroach one's liberty.
So French people don't think of liberté as a French concept. This is just something that kind of came out of history and has been lost to history again.
Yes, I think it came out after the Revolution. When, you know, the kings and the last king before the revolution, Louis XVI, was overthrown, the kings over time ruled France in a very terrible manner, and French people got very if I can say like this, upset, but decided to put an end to the kingdom and to have a democracy and then a republic, and be able to lead their life the way they think it's best. And at that time, I think it meant a lot of things. But you know, in almost three centuries, things have already been changed. And when in the U.S. we're fighting to preserve the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment. In France, we are not fighting to preserve some constitutional amendments, but we're fighting things like immigration, insecurity, justice, buying power, if I can say like the French identity. But this whole concept of, you know, constitution and freedom and liberties, to me, was a revelation when I was in the U.S.
Those, I guess, relatively few French people that might know anything about the American approach or the American idea of liberty, or indeed more broadly, the Anglo tradition of liberty, how do they see it? I mean, do they think, I mean, you know, you do hear in sometimes in the, let's call it the Anglo media, I mean, I hear this in England as well as in the US, that the French kind of almost look down on the Anglo or the Anglo-Saxon way of doing things. Can you speak to that? What's the French attitude about the American attitude to the world? Let's kind of put it that way.
Well, you know, the problem is that French Americans are kind of the same. They have a big ego sometimes, and they think that they do both better than the other one. You know, this is what I've noticed, and that's why I'm trying to be humble here in the U.S. because I don't want to have that arrogant attitude that, you know, a lot of French have and Americans could have sometimes, thinking that, you know, we are the best, you know, we do better than anyone else and we know better. So this may be why they look down like this. But again, the US history and the French history are completely different, and this is very difficult for me to make a good comparison, because the problems, you know, some problems are the same, but mostly in the U.S. and in France, people do not fight for the same reasons.
Would you say it's fair to say, I mean, I'm kind of, I guess, summarizing what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is it fair to say that in U.S. politics, it's like we're playing for much bigger things, that it's actually kind of more philosophical? It runs deeper, whereas in France, like in England, I would say, it's more pragmatic and incremental and just kind of reactionary.
I agree with that. Yes, that's a very good way to say it. I think that, you know, again, when I was in France and I was running for office, the three or four things I was fighting for were clearly, you know, insecurity, was taxes. Because France is probably one of the most the country where taxes are the higher. You know, immigration that has a very bad impact. I'm born from an immigrant, so I think I can tell about that. Immigration was a big problem. So yes, you're right. I think in the U.S. we're fighting for bigger picture. We see, you know, when you take a look at the you know, the problem of the NSA, all the leaks from WikiLeaks or Edward Snowden. When you take a look at that police state coming in the U.S., that's overwhelming, and that's kind of scary. And that's, I think that's what Americans are fighting against. But in France, I've never heard about a state, you know, police state coming, because actually, you know, police forces in France don't have the same power as they have in US.
Does that mean that despite the traditions, that despite the history, there's actually more liberty in France?
I don't know that. I don't know if I can say that, because again, at the time when I was in France, that was not a preoccupation of mine. That was not something I was aware of, as you know, as I was focusing on other issues. And but I guess that if today I have to take a look at you know, what the socialist government is doing and maybe the European Union is doing, I'll say that France should wake up soon and put on the first place the word liberty, And I'm going to give you a very simple example that might not appeal to a lot of people, but to me it's very important.
Okay, we've got 1 minute left in this segment, yeah, so go for it.
Since the French the socialist government came to power, they decided to impose a tax on people getting healthcare from their employers. That means that they have to pay more taxes, and so you know when you pay more taxes, you cannot use that money for other things. And somehow you have less liberty because of taxation there. So that's really a simple example that can show a bigger picture behind all what's going on in France.
And are they in the last 15 seconds of the segment? Did that tax come in effectively to penalise those who are getting health from health insurance privately rather than through the state?
No, I don't think so. In France, the healthcare system is a mix of government and private sector.
Okay, we're going into the next break. We'll be back soon. Thank you, Ismail. Welcome back to a very interesting edition of Blue Republican Radio for the Liberty Curious. I am with Ismail. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that second name of yours again, Ismail. At the end of the last segment, you actually referenced the EU. And this is something that I'm very kind of passionate about, in my case, obviously, in a negative way. Actually, in France, just as in England, interesting things have been happening recently at the ballot box, let's say, in reaction against the EU. But it is, of course, extraordinary to me that the EU has been able to get away with this, I call it a soft tyranny turning hard, with kind of the silent consent of the majority of Europeans. That includes Brits, it includes Frenchmen and people from 27 nations. What do you make of what is going on in the EU? And how is it that the French attitude to politics not only has allowed it, but really facilitated it? I know the Brits talk about the French-German axis as being really the core of the EU. And now we're seeing a reaction against that in France. Help the audience understand how the EU has got this far and now where it's going and what the reaction of the various demos, you know, people of the continent is.
Well, my take on that is, I'm talking for France, is that we saw at the last election the National Front winning the election. For the audience, for our listener, the National Front is seen as a extreme right wing party who in the past and maybe recently had some very racist and xenophobic view. But what happened is that this party also appealed recently to the French because French are getting tired of what's going on in France with the two main parties, so the Socialist Party and the Union for the Popular Movement, but also they are getting tired with the overreach of the European Union on many levels. What I see as something very important there is cronyism, capitalism, where mostly the euro. The currency, the euro, is not working at all for the people, but mostly for the banks and their allies, and and you know, and the overreach of the EU in you know in different sectors of the French economy. Basically, what happened is that France is not anymore able to make its own law based on its own needs. The EU is going to intervene and say what France should do, and basically the EU is going to make a law for all the countries without really respecting where those countries came from and what are their differences. And I think that's one of the biggest problems.
You see, if you said all of that with my accent, you would sound just like the normal UKIP voting English guy down the pub. So this is interesting, because there we are, you know, France and England are two examples with two different histories, often throughout history in opposition to each other. And yet the European Union has caused a kind of political and cultural convergence between England and France, just in reaction against against the EU, this superstate, right? So this is interesting. Now, one thing, you mentioned that the National Front is indeed famously, historically, had problems with racism. And you said that it's perceived as being a far-right party. Now, I know it certainly has a rather dark history of racism, but economically, it isn't right-wing, is it? Isn't it left-wing?
This is what I've read, you know, recently, that people say that it was left-wing, and I kind of agree with that, because economically, they are kind of okay with welfare, they're kind of okay with helping people, but they are okay to help French people. You know, when I say French people, sometimes with the National Front, French people is when you're white. But it changes a lot also, because, you know, I'm going to tell you this. When I was in France, I met many people who were not French, as far as they can say it, meaning they were French, most of them, they were born there, but they were from immigrants. And those people voted for the National Front, because the National Front seemed to be more interested in the French and the culture and the well-being of the French nation than the other parties. And the National Front fought about that during the last election. You know, was only the French interest. One of the problems I see with France and European countries is that when you start talking about patriotism, that's a big word. It's like the F word. It's like whatever you name it. Patriotism. If you start talking about patriotism, about identity, about nationalism, about protecting your resources and your assets, in Europe it's bad. You can't say that. And unfortunately, what the European Union didn't understand is that if you try to have too much multiculturalism and you try to have a melting pot without respecting differences of everybody, at one point you get to a situation when the extreme wins.
This is interesting, because really you're seeing this in England too, that it seems that the populations are reacting against being forced in a melting pot almost against their will. It's not the problem. The problem isn't the melting pot itself. It's the fact that the way it's been set up politically is without any buy-in from the people.
I absolutely agree with that. You put it very well. It's really how it's been used, and to achieve political means. I think it's to clearly divide the people and keep the power and keep the control. Now let me say something. When I was talking about France, I don't think that the UKIP is an extremist party. I don't know. It doesn't seem to me that they are an extremist party. But at least in France, this is how the National Front is seen, as an extremist party. Mm. French I guess, are changing their mind because they overwhelmingly voted for them.
Well, you know, this is really interesting because, you know, you were saying at the beginning of this interview that politics in France are ethnocentric. So it kind of makes sense in that context that the protest party, the party that you vote for to react against the system, is itself ethnocentric. Whereas in the UK, where we have this Anglo tradition, this kind of classical liberal tradition, the protest party that has succeeded equally recently in Europe, in the country, in opposition to Europe, is not ethnocentric. It isn't extremist. And maybe that reflects the long histories and the different cultures out of which they come.
Yeah, that's possible, but, you know, I mean, I don't know what the, I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about that, but what is the immigration rate in UK, but I know that also if the National Front was able to was able to win such victory, is that there's exasperation in France with immigration and in Europe, generally speaking. And, you know, I'm not saying that immigration is bad, you know, as an immigrant.
Here we are, right? We're both immigrants, yes.
As an immigrant, but, you know, it needs some control. And the control means, you know, we need to be able to decide who is going to come. And what I've noticed in France, and I think in UK too, is that some people are coming and they're like you and me. They integrate, they respect, you know, the customs, they respect the way of life, and they decide to do their best to be Americans. Mm. This is what you and I were doing. This is what my dad came after the Algerian War in 1960-something. He came to France and he said, okay, now I'm French, I'm going to act as a French, I'm going to be a French in all means possible. And what we've seen the last past two decades in France and Europe is that you have a large population coming to those countries, and at the end, they are given a lot of things, welfare, health, whatever you want, to live a better life that they could have lived in their own countries, and they don't really respect the French and their culture and their way of life. And I think that the National Front was able to win that victory because we have so loose laws in the European Union and in France about immigration, and immigration has now such impact all on different policies, political right. issues, and plus, you know, those economical issues, the 2008 crisis when the National Front from the beginning said that the euro's currency would be a bad thing for France. They were right about that. Mm. Well, this is why they won today. And it took some time for them to win. Unfortunately, they won, but it took some time. But I think that for France, we had to go through that way to have a wake-up call.
It's interesting. I just want to go back also to something you said a few minutes ago. You said that, you didn't say this, but I'm summarizing again, that basically the word patriotism is a dirty word.
It is.
And you're speaking to... it speaks to political correctness. There's this deep political correctness in France and in England that people feel constrains them, that prevents them even from talking about things like immigration, which are sensitive issues. And so I think part of this reaction is a reaction against that, right?
It's a reaction against that and against the establishment. I mean, you know, the French constitution is, you know, it's based on the human rights. And it says that we have freedom of speech, but the problem is that, you know, you can say, for instance, you know, I won't be able to say, I don't like such person, not because of their color of skin, but, you know, I don't like such person. It can be, if you say something like this in France, you can have a lot of problems, because you have that political correctness. Mm. There are many things, and not only based on people, but there are many things you can say in France without being one day being in front of a judge with a lawsuit on your back. And I think French are tired of that. They want to be able to say whatever they want as long as it doesn't create disturbance or trouble, you know.
Yes, indeed. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that here we are in the U.S., you and I came to the U.S., and it seems like we have a similar story, that we got excited about liberty and really excited about politics after coming to the U.S. and seeing, as we discussed earlier, that there's a big game here. There's a lot to play for here, right? And it seems also that this might be related to the fact that, talking about immigration, integration is better here. You know, they often cite these surveys of Muslims, American Muslims and European Muslims. And there's this very interesting statistic that whereas American Muslims tend to say, I'm American first and then Muslim, European Muslims tend to say, I'm Muslim first and then French or and then English. And you have these problems of integration. Now, I think that is something to do with the fact that integration seems to be more effective when the destination country, so for you and me, that's the United States, has a stronger self-identity and is more overtly patriotic, interestingly enough. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely are in agreement with that. You use the Muslim population, that it's really, really not a big population in the U.S. proportionally compared to France in the UK, but you're absolutely right. I think that people, when they came to the US, they came, you know, with those ideas of having a better life, and because there's a strong identity, you know. Here people are proud to say, I'm a patriot, I love this country, I love the constitution, I love what the flag means. As in France, put a flag in front of your house, and you'll see the criticism that you are going to have from a lot of people. Here in the US, putting a flag is just something that I think is great. I told my wife, once we're going to get citizen, I want to have a flag on my backyard, and I want everybody to see it. That culture here in the US of being proud of being an American and embracing, you know, some values. And if you don't embrace that, and you you're not welcome, and that's right. As in France, if you talk about the French Constitution, or you're talking about the French identity, or talking about food, you like food and you like pork and you like wine and stuff like this, people are starting looking at you saying, oh, you're xenophobic.
Right, it's like, you know, to be proud of where you come from. In Europe, people interpret that as putting yourselves above somebody else, like you're putting somebody down. And it's not that at all. It's just a love of what is good about the land, the people with whom you identify.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, you nailed it better than me, I guess.
I've had a bit of practice, though.
This is it. You get it, and I hope the people who are listening to us, they get it too.
Absolutely. You know what? We're going to be going into, I think, the break pretty soon. But I just want to plug a couple of articles I wrote about this. I wrote an article called Twice the Pride on Becoming an American by Patriot. And also, I wrote earlier this year an article called Why I Shall Become an American. We're going into the break. Well, America, I hope you are proud and excited that a Brit and a Frenchman would come all the way across the very big pond to participate in and get excited about American liberty. You see, it's still America, and American liberty still does some of the things it was doing a couple of hundred years ago to inspire immigrants and just inspire, you know, what's best about all of us. Ismaine, you are the chair of Blue Republican Missouri, a state chapter. What are you doing with that? Is there anything you want to put out there for our listeners to let people know what you're doing?
Of course. Thank you for giving me that opportunity. What I try to do in the Show Me State is to get, you know, liberty curious and liberty lovers together, and no matter where they come from, and try to work together to stop, you know, partisanship in the state, because, you know, the state of Missouri is quite divided with a you know, Democrat governor, but a Senate, a Congress, which is a Republican, and make sure that, you know, people who are very interested with liberties are able to find compromise together and act on those compromises. You know, I'm sure that the people who are left-leaning, people who are right-leaning, you know, former liberals or current liberals, conservative, we can all come together and in the name of liberties work together and fight, you know, the NSA spying, stop the endless war. There are many things that I think we can do together and show to the world and to other Americans that we can be united under the same flag, the American flag and the Liberty flag. This is really what I'm focusing on, is to really appeal to those people with a message of liberty and freedoms and tell them we can work together to stop that government outrage, that police state, that we would like to be free to do as we wish, as long as we do not harm someone else, as long as we do not encroach the liberties of someone else. And I think the Blue Republican movement that you created and that you're leading right now is the perfect movement to do so.
Thank you, Ismaine. That's the end of the show. Wonderful to have you on.
Thank you very much.